Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Ayin Vav, the very last daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah. So we know that tomorrow we will be starting Maseches Horiyos. So let's try to make sure we finish today. We left off at the two dots in daf Ayin Hayim and Beis. We just went through the Gemara in the Tevilas Kelim Sugya. The Gemara just went through the basic halachas of Tevilas Kelim. Obviously, there's a lot more to discuss, but now we got to move on. So we're at the two dots, third wide line on daf Ayin Hayim and Beis. If someone purchases kli tashmish, someone purchases kelim that you use from an ovid kochavim, devarim shelo nishtamish ben matbilan vein tahorin. So if you bought something brand new from the ovid kochavim, something that was never used before, so then it's very simple. You bring it to the mikveh and it's tahor, and that's all you're going to need to do. So that's if it's never been used before. But devarim shelo nishtamish ben al yidei tzonein, what if you took something, you bought something that was used before but was used with cold, kigon, kosos, vikitonios, tzlochios, like you have cups and goblets and things of that nature which you use for cold drinks, so it was never used for hot, but it's been used for cold, madichan matpilan vehem tahorin, then you need to rinse them out, and then be matpil them, and then they'll be tahar. Things that you use with hot liquids in them, kigon hayoras hakumkumosin mechami chamin, like hot water urns and things like that, pots and pans, magilan matbilan vehein tahorin. Then you do hagala on them. You put them in boiling water, and then you would be tovel them, and they would be tahar. Question is this dafka, that magilan first and then matbilan, or can it be the other way around as well? When we say magilan and matbilan, so the Yerushalmi in our parak says that once it came out of tuma, it's going out of tumas akum to kedushas Yisrael. So he says if that's the case, then it would be considered like tovel v'sheretz biyado. If you would be some of the Rishonim has such a lashon that it's like tovel v'sheretz biyado. If you tovel it without getting rid of the blios of Isser first, so you dafka first need to be magil and then to be tovel. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim if that order is necessary or it's not necessary. Dvarim shenishamish ben alidei or things that you use dafka with fire, meaning things that you use to with direct heat of fire, kigon hashvud and vaskalao. So like grates and spits that you use directly with fire with barbecue, malabdon matbilan vehintar, and then you need to do libun v'kulin shenishamish ben ad sheliyatbil v'shloyagil v'shloyilabein tani chada aser v'tani idach muter. Now all of these things, if you use them before you do the tvila or the hagala or the libun, so then it's a machlokas between the brises whether it's aser or muter. So says the Gemara, it's not really a stira lo kasha. How come the Amr Nosin Tam Lufkam Asar? How come the Amr Nosin Tam Lufkam Mutter? That really depends on your view of Nosin Tam Lufkam, that if you're using something more than 24 hours after its last use, so it's only going to be the Tam of Isser is only going to be Tam Lufkam. So the question is, if you hold Nosin Tam Lufkam Mutter, so then it's going to be Mutter B'di'evet. You're still not allowed to do it, but it's going to be Mutter B'di'evet. So just a few points over here. We went through four different types of Kalim. We have kelim that have not been used at all, where all they need is tvila, kelim that have been used but only with cold, where they need to be rinsed and they need tvila, kelim that have been used with hot liquids, where they need hagala and tvila, and kelim that have been used with fire, where they need libun and tvila. So the Ritva writes that lo amru stam kelim shel goyim einu ben hayomim el bekelim she'ein derech l'shamish ben tadir. The Gemara then assumes that when in the bidyevit situation, the Gemara assumed that we're dealing with the situation of the same time of Gam, because that's working with the assumption that all kelim of goyim are kelim she'einu b'nei yomim, that the kelim haven't been used in the last 24 hours, that they don't cook every single day in the same kelim, and therefore you can assume the kelim haven't been used in the last 24 hours. So says the Ritva, that's only true about kelim that's not the derech to constantly use. Aval kelim shemashishim b'chol yom shetashmishim b'chol yom ki kelim shel yayin o karos v'kosos adraba stomen b'nei yomanein. So he says, but kelim that are used every single day, constantly, that are normally used every single day, like cups and things like that, then to the contrary, the stam kelim are b'nei yomen, because every single day people need them. Person uses his coffee mug every single morning. If he's got a favorite coffee mug, that's what he uses every single day. There are certain kelim that are like that. Now, that's the sheet of the Ritva. Not all the Rishonim agree with that. The Machlok is what the Rambam holds. What exactly the Rambam holds? Kesem Mishnah and Lechem Mishnah write Bidasa Rambam that Stam Kleihem are Bnei Yoman. The Tshuvas Rashba says that the Rambam says no, Stam Kleihem are not Bnei Yoman. However, the Shulchan Aruch says Stam Kleihem Einan Bnei Yoman. Shulchan Aruch is Mechalek. Shulchan Aruch says Stam Klei of the Chavim are not Bnei Yoman. The Poskim on the Shulchan Aruch are mechalik between kelim that like the Ritva, kelim that you're mevashal with constantly, and that you're not mevashal with constantly. The Shulchan Aruch himself doesn't seem to make any such distinction. Furthermore, another issue we mentioned that dvarim shenishtamish ben ali detzonein, things that have been used for cold, you need to be madichan umadbilan. In the Tshuvas Rashba, quoted in the Beis Yosef in Or HaChaim Sim Tafnun Aleph, a lot of the halachos of Hechsher Kelim are in Or HaChaim. Some of the halachos are in Yerodeya, where you would expect them to be, but a lot of the halachos are in Or HaChaim Sim Tafnun Aleph, because that's Hilchos Pesach. So it's an interesting sugya to learn la halacha. You really need to learn two separate simanim in Shulchan Aruch. There's some halachos you can find only in one simon and not the other. But in Or HaChaim Sim Tafnun Aleph, the Beis Yosef quotes from Tshuvas Rashba that metal cups that you use all year and you want to use them on Pesach, he says Mishuras Hadin Nira Shein Srichin Ala Hadacha Kamosha Shinir Kam Bebraisa, meaning we have a minhag, a lot of people have a minhag that when they're kashering for Pesach, they take their Kiddush cup and they kasher with Hagala. So the Beis Yosef points out, based on this Gemara and Shem the Rashba, that's really unnecessary. You should rinse it off. Things that you use with cold, you should rinse it off. V'afal pi shapam manichan al sanal eish l'chamim v'masayayim v'nosim sham chametz shekol she'enu ben yom ha-mutter. He says even if sometimes every once in a while you use it you'll use it on the fire, still stamanein ben yoman and it's going to be mutter. And the chacham go basar ikar tashmishan. When the chacham determine, well, what is this? Is this a kli that's used with hot or is it a kli that's used with cold? You don't have to worry if once it was used with hot. We follow the ikar tashmish, which is a tremendous chiddush. One would have thought, look, if we're talking about blios, all it takes is one time for it to be balea tam of iser. It doesn't. You don't have like a pass, a one time pass. Okay, now it's not balea. If you use it with heat one time, that would be enough to be balea. But says the Tshuvas Rashi, but no, since the whole idea of requiring tevilas kelim, of requiring hagala in the first place, is only a chumra gzeira, because at b'neyom not tishen b'neyom, because after all we're going to see soon the gemara, because after all every single time you can just wait 24 hours, then it's nosim tam lefkam, and nosim lefkam is mutter anyway. So the whole thing is only a gezeira. So the chacham determined that you could follow rov tashmishan, that you don't need to go with, you don't need to discover any time that it's been used. So he realized the metzias that he's saying we're too machmir with the bechers to do agala, because how often do you use it with hot chametz? That's not even our metzias. Our metzias is even better. We don't use it with hot chametz ever. We don't use it with hot ever. We don't use it with chametz ever. The only thing we ever put in our kiddush cups is wine that's itself kasher the Pesach and is never hot. So we have even more reason to be makel not to require hagala. But for whatever reason, chumra de chametz, people have this practice that because of chumra de chametz, we go ahead and we kasher with hagala or kelim. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, two lines from the bottom. Well, the man, you're not mutter. If you hold not is mutter, of the chavim das rachmana hechim. So why do I ever need to do agala? Why can't I just wait 24 hours? If you hold not sintam lufkam is mutter, so says Gemara. Amrav chia bereid rafuna lo asra Torah el kader bas yoma. When the Torah told me to do agalas kelim, that's only talking about a kedera, that's a bas yoma, a pot that I know that's been used in the last 24 hours to not lav no sintam lufkam hu. That's not nosin tam lefkam yet, but mikan ve, so ask the Gemara mikan ve'elich lishtri. So wow, that's a tremendous kula. Then after 24 hours, we shouldn't require hagal anymore. We should just say it's mutter straight out. That as long as you get a kli from an oved chavim that hasn't been used, that has been used, even just wait 24 hours. You don't have to kasher it, and it's perfectly mutter. Answers the Gemara, no, we don't say that. gezeira kedera sheina bas yoma mishum kedera bas yoma. It's a gezeira derabanan. Minyan echidami would be mutter, but we make a gezeira that a kedera she, if we were to allow you to use a kedera sheina bas yoma without kashering it, you'll come to use a kedera bas yoma without kashering it as well. The idach kedera bas yoma nami mifkam pagman. The other shita will say no, kedera bas yoma is also pagum. So therefore it's not a problem. But we hold that we require hagalas kelim on kelim that are even more than 24 hours since the last use because of this gezeira. Now I've been defining bas yoma as 24 hours. That's not so pashut. Both Rashi and Tosos here do not agree with that. If you take a look at Rashi, Bas Yoma says Rashi, Shabishal ba Ovid Kochav Mahayom, that an Ovid Kochav used to cook in it today. Aval Bishal ba Etmol, but if he cooked in it yesterday, Kvar Hifig ba Taimo, Belinas Laila. The time has already become Pagum by staying overnight. And therefore, since the time has become weakened, by the time it's able to be to give time into something else, it's going to be a time pagum that it gives into something else. But Rashi puts a clear emphasis on linas laila, on the fact that it was overnight. That means if at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon I used the kli, and then this morning I wake up, it's already nosin tam lefkam, because it just went right time, doesn't need 24 hours, which is... It could come out very strange. That it could be that you could have, let's take an example where Shkia is at 8:30 at night during the summertime. So I use a kli at 8:15 at night, and then I wake up at 6 o'clock the next morning. It's been 6:15 the next morning. It's been 10 hours, and that's perfectly fine already. But if I use a kli at 6:15 in the morning, and then I wait again till 8:15 that night, so it's been 14 hours, and it's not okay, because it didn't go through Linas Laila. So according to Rashi, it doesn't depend on time. It's not the amount of time that it's been Balua B'dofnei Akli. This is purely an issue of going through at nighttime. If you look at Tosos writes the second line over there, Mashma L'Pirusho, after quoting Rashi, he says, Mashma L'Pirusho, the Linas Laila Pogemes, V'lo B'inan Meisleis. You don't need 24 hours. It's all about night. It's going through Linas Laila. V'chein Pirushrach, the Linas Laila Pogemes. And that's what Rabbeinu Chananel says as well, that going through at nighttime is what's game. Kiloa yederech biyam kanmonim levashel belayla. K'mash parakam de brachos. It was never the derech in those days to cook at night. Now, why do we use the lashon of bas yoma? So, if you look a little further into Tosos, in about 7 lines into the skinny lines, v'lishn de bas yoma mashma shebishel b'hayom. He says the lashon of bas yoma sounds a lot more like Rashi than it does like 24 hours. Bas yoma means today, has been used today. That's all. That's all that matters. Not has it been used within the last 24 hours. The last 24 hours includes parts of yesterday also. And that implies today. Torah doesn't say in the Gemara that we only ask for kedera me'es la'es, that's been used in the last me'es la'es. V'davka sha'amda kol halayla b'lo bishla. However, Tosfos says, what does it mean it went overnight? Does that mean it hasn't been used since the middle of the night? Meaning, is it just that at the end of the night it's not in use, or does it have to go through the whole night without being used? So he says, Davka Shamda Kol Halayla B'lo Bishel. It has to go through the entire night without being cooked in at all. She'in Yadua Mag Gorim Lahafik Hatam Tchilas Halayla Osofo Okulo. He says, I'm not really sure what causes the tam to adjust and to become weaker. I'm not sure whether it's the beginning of night, whether it's Tseisa Kochavim that causes that to happen, or whether it's the end of the night, it's Amur HaShachar, or whatever that causes, Netzacham, or whatever it might be, that causes that to happen, or it's the fact that it went through the entire night. I'm not sure which one it is, and therefore we have to be machmir on that issue. It's very difficult to understand this whole conversation. What do you mean? Why is the tam affected by a single moment in time? When the stars come out, that immediately affects the time. The Rishonim have such assumptions about, and we assume this la'alacha even, about, physiology, human physiology is affected by the stars and by the constellations, whatever, that somehow the moon is going to cause a woman to, a woman's period is determined based on the lunar cycle and things like that, or like the Rashba writes in Taras HaBayis in regards to the halacha, that a girl is 3 years old b'suleha b'suleha enim chozrim, but before the age of three, it's b'suleha chozrim. So that's somehow affected by whenever the molad halavana is, even if it's not exactly the same amount of time for every single person. So I mean, but it's very difficult to understand in this context that the time in the kli is going to automatically change at a given moment in time, based on that's when the stars came out, that's when the sun came up. But that's what Tosfos assumes. Av me'is leis lo be'inan. He says you don't need me'is leis, but then he points out, yeah, you know what? I'm machmir tava lav bracha. You want to be machmir because in tait you could be machmir, and every other rishon besides for Rashi and Tosfos is machmir. They assume that me'is that bas yomein and bas yoma is determined by 24 hours by me'is leis. That's what we certainly assume that way. La halacha. Tosos toward the end says Yesh l'daktek to sof laila levad eno gorim elokulo, and he says it seems that the end of the night is not what causes it to become pagum; it's the entire night that causes it. Midehitzrach hakasos shvira beklicheres mariko shtifa beklinechoshes achrei bishul chatos mandiam nosin tamlevkam mutter. And the riot to that is that we require breaking a klicheres or mariko shtifa on a klinechoshes after they cook the carbon chatos in it, if you hold nosin. Why don't you just wait till after Amud HaShachar and cook in it l'chadchila? So it must be that the end of the night alone is not what caused it to become a tam pagum, because then there would be no need to kasher anything. By the next morning, everything is fine. Rabbeinu Baruch writes in Sefer HaTruma, what does it mean it hasn't been used in the last 24 hours? What if it's been used in the last 24 hours, but not for treif? It was the last time it was used for treif, it was more than 24 hours ago, but I cooked water in the last 24 hours. So Rabbeinu Baruch Baal Truma says, no good. Demayim chashivi kamoa iser, because cooking water in it is like cooking iser in it. Why is that so? Lefisha nasu nevela, because when you cook water in a kli that's balua with tam of nevela, what's going to happen? The tam of nevela is going to go out into the water. There's not enough water to be mevatel the tam of the nevela, because the water in the kli that the kli holds is not 60 times the volume of the kli itself. So mela, the entire water itself is going to become treif, and then the water just goes right back. The time of the water goes right back into the dofnei kli, so that starts the clock again. That restarts the 24-hour clock because you just cooked treif water. Kivin shalohay ben samach levatel pleitas akli to b'didei misharinan v'chazuv nivlu. You didn't have shishim in the water to be mevatel the time of the kli, because that's how we would measure. So it goes back into the kli. V'dafka b'kli shal isra v'kli shal hetuk on basar b'kli shal chalav o ibcha afal pishoy b'mayim chamin b'toch meisleis ein lachushar. But he says, very important, that's only if you're kashering from treif to kosher. If you're kashering from milchik to fleishik or vice versa, you're not going to say the water cooked there became nevela. The chaticha nas nevela became aser. Because there's nothing aser about milchik, there's nothing aser about fleishik. So water cooked in the milchik kli didn't become aser and then go back into the kli. So that's why you're not going to have that concept of chaticha nas nevela when it comes to milchik to fleishik. One more point on this idea of gezeira kederi shen bas yom mishum kederi bas yoma. So our Gemara paskins that a kli that you want to kasher from treif, even if it's been more than 24 hours, you can't kasher it. So the Nod B'Yehuda, the Chuvus Nod B'Yehuda, Madura Tinyani Yardea Simin Nun Aleph, he has the following chiddush. He says he thinks this whole gezeira that even a kli that hasn't been used in more than 24 hours, that you have to kasher it, is only if the isser that was balua in the kli was an isser daraisa. Otherwise, he doesn't use the terminology of gezeira, but that's sort of what he means to say. He says, if it were only an Issa Drabbanan in the first place, he finds it hard to believe that they would have made this Gezeira to include even for Issa Drabbanan, to be Gozer Atu Shena Ben Yoma, because even Biyoma, it's not really an Issa Torah. So he doesn't, but at the end he says, Lamaisa, I've never seen anyone that was Makel with this, but he says, Misvara, that would be true. Why doesn't he use the terminology of Gezeira L'Gezeira? So it doesn't really fit Gezeira L'Gezeira. Gezeira L'Gezeira is normally when you have a gezeira, and the Rabbanan make a gezeira specifically because they're afraid you're going to violate that first gezeira. Over here, an issa drabbanan, I don't know, chicken and milk that was cooked together, some sort of issa drabbanan that's in the kli, that's a gezeira about lest you come to real basar b'chalav. The gezeira in bas yoma, atu bas yoma, is a gezeira about real non-kosher, real isurim daraisa. It happens to be they overlap over here, but one gezeira wasn't meant to address the other gezerah. They weren't built on each other, so that's why it wouldn't be considered a legitimate regular gezerah l'gezerah case where you would say that that's beyond the rights of the chachamim or the desire of the chachamim to be gozer gezerah l'gezerah. But nevertheless, Misvar in the Debuta says he doesn't think that it would make sense that they would have assered Midrabanan, Isur Midrabanan. Nevertheless, he never saw anyone that was maker like this, so he doesn't want to rely on any of those kulos. Okay, we're four lines from the top. Ayin Vav Amin Aleph. Rami Le Rav Amram Rav Sheshes Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah Hashvudin Va'askom Alavnan Ba'ar that if you have a spit or a grate, you know, grills, things that are used with direct fire, so in order to kash them, you need to be milabin them in fire. You need to burn them in fire. Vahatanan, but we learned in the Mishnah Gabe Kachim in regards to Kachim, Hashvud Va'askla Magilan Bechamin, that all they need is Hagala, you don't need to do Libun, you could just dip it in boiling water. So Amrlei, Amrim Bari, Ma'in in Kachim, Etzel Gilei of the Chavim. He says, what are you talking about? Why are you bringing this up? What does Kachim have to do with Gilei Akum? Hacha Eterabala, Hasamisurabala. One, when it comes to Kachim, the Kachim initially that were Balua in the pot were Mut. It's just that it takes that after a while it becomes Tam of Nosar. But originally, when it came into the pot, it came into the pot as Heter. Now, but when you talk about Yuli of the Chavim, they had Chazin, Nevela, Trefa, they had all sorts of Yisurim, Balua in the pot. Of course, we need to be more Machmir by Yisurabala than by Aterabala. What kind of question is that? So, based on this, the Poskim discuss that apparently there is a major distinction between a Aterabala and Yisurabala, and we can take certain liberties with Aterabala. So, the Poskim discuss have a major discussion. How do we treat chametz bePesach? Chametz that was balua in a kli before Pesach, is that called heterabala or is that called isurabala? See, chametz is mutter the rest of the year, so maybe it should be called heterabala. Or do you say no? Chametz always has a shem chametz, meaning from a Pesach perspective, chametz is always aser. Meaning it's different by kachim. By kachim, at the time that it was balua in the kli, when it was still within the zman achila, it's completely mutter, and that same kachim becomes completely aser, right? It's a totally, it becomes like a totally new entity. But chametz always has a shem chametz throughout the year. Meaning, what's the iser of karbanos after a certain time? It becomes nosar. During the time, it didn't have a shem nosar. No one would look at it and say, that's nosar. It's not. It's when it's still within the zman achila, it's not yet nosar. It only took on the shem nosar later on. So that's what you would call a terabala. But some argue when it comes to chametz bePesach, when I eat breakfast this morning, I will be eating chametz. Whatever cereal I eat is going to be chametz. It is called chametz. Even now it's called chametz. So you can't call that heterabala. That's the major discussion in the Rishonim. It's brought in Arachayim Simon and Aleph, Beis Yosef, Ramah, Magen Avram. Major discussion on that topic. Anyway, so that's why he says you can't compare kachim to Gilei of the Chavim. Amar Rava, Sof Sof Ki Kapalat, Yisur Kapalat. Rava says, yeah, but at the end of the day, when the tam is coming out of it, it's tam of Isra that's coming out of it. Ella Amarava, Maya Galanami Shtifa Marika. When we say Agala, we mean Shtifa Marika. Why is Shtifa Marika good enough? Shtifa Marika just means you rinse it out. So he says, Hayagala Diktani, says Rashi, Hayagala Diktani Asam Mariko Shtifa Kolomar. Li Olam Leflote Isser Vadei Libun Bayi. Now, certainly, if you want to get rid of the Isser from the spits and these things, you definitely need Libun. Kishar Blias Isser. By Kachim as well, just like any Blias Isser. Elamitzas Melechi Bekachim, Umarak Veshatav Bemayim, Kiechadavi Gzeres Akazav Kasher Yazami Dam Alabeged. Meaning, there's an additional requirement. In addition to the Libun, which of course you have to do to get rid of the Tam of Isser, by Kachim we have a special Chumra, you got to do Mariko Shtifa. That's a special din by Kachim. So Amalei Abaye says, wait a second, me dummy, Mariko Shtifa B'tzonin, Hagala B'chamin. Why do you think that when the Mishnah uses the word Hagala, it means Mariko Shtifa? Mariko Shtifa means rinsing in cold water. Hagala always means dipping in boiling hot water. How can you teach a Mishnah to say that the word Agala means Mariko Shtifa? That's a totally inaccurate translation. Ella Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Yagad Elav Reyo, that it's not a stira between the two brises, between the brise and the Mishnah, it's they're meant to complement each other. Tana Hacha Libun V'Adin Agala, it says in our Mishnah that you do Libun, and it's understood that not only Libun, but you do Hagala as well, because that's why you have the other brise that says to do Agala, and Tana Hasam Agala, by Kachim it says Agala, V'Adin Libun, and we're supposed to understand that you do Liban as well, that the that you really do both. Why you do both is a very good question, but you really do both. And apparently, according to Abaye, you need both in order to really draw out all the time of Isser from a barbecue, from something that was used with direct fire. Samuel Ravas, Rava says, really, if they're both coming to complement each other, the two Mishnayos are meant to be complementary, and you're supposed to understand that the halachas of one applies to the other, then there's a better way to say it. Let it say both Hagala and Libun in one of the Mishnayos, and let it say one of them, either Hagala or Libun in the other Mishnah, and then I'll say Yagrel Avreyo. Yagrel Avreyo is if it tells me all of the halachas in one place, and then in another similar case, it only mentions one of the halachas. Then I say, oh, it only mentions one of them because it means that one, v'chule, like from the other place. But if in neither place it tells me all the halachas, how am I supposed to know that it's Yagrel Avreyo? Tells me this case needs Agala, that case needs Libun. How am I supposed to know that both need both Agala and Libun? That's not a normal Yagrel Avreyo. Ela Amar Rava, so Rava says, Kachemainu Tamayu, Kidrav Nachman Rabarvua. The reason that kachim is different is because each and every day becomes a gil for the previous day. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, shemavashlin behen, they cook in it, ve'enu maspik lios nosar. Kachim never becomes nosar in the kli, because they use those kalim every day. So if I cooked a karban in a kli on Monday, so Tuesday it should become nosar after Tuesday, but on Tuesday when I cook in it, I'm already being polate the isser that was that went in on Monday when I cooked it on Tuesday, and now the Tuesday isser goes into it, the Tuesday carbon goes into it. So each day when I use it, yesterday's carbon is already taken out of the kli. That's why I says from vashma made a maspik lios nosar she yachzor polto b'taf shelachar. L'kaman parach yachi agalan amin lo d'bayis. So the Gemara is going to ask, yeah, that's such a great answer that you shouldn't need any kashering. You shouldn't have to do agala either. If you're really being polate all the time from before, then you shouldn't need anything. That doesn't explain why you don't need Libun, but you do need Agala. That would explain why you wouldn't need anything. So anyway, but that we'll get to later on. First, the Gemara analyzes on goes down a different road. Tenach shlamim. So the Gemara, that makes a lot of sense by a carbon shlamim, that you could say that each, since you use it every day, so the before the time that's Balua and the Kli becomes Aser, it's already Niflat Mena Kli. Why does it make sense with the carbon shlamim? Shlamim, kivin de l'shnei yamim misachli mikamid navinosa kavigil. Since a carbon shlamim could be eaten for 2 days, so before it has a chance to become Nosar, which would be on the third day when it becomes Nosar. So before it has a chance to become Nosar, when you cook and it's something else on the second day, yesterday's Karmen Shlomim comes out, and that's the time of yesterday's Karmen Shlomim comes out, and that's not yet Nosar. So I understand, that works very well. Elachatas, what about a Karmen Chatas? Kivin to Liyom V'layla Mesachla, Karmen Chatas can only be eaten on the day that you bring it, and the following night. By the next day already, the Chatas is Nosar. So what? I'm going to use the kli again the next day, and you're going to tell me, don't worry, I'm being polite the yisr before it becomes nosar. It's too late. It's already nosar on the next day. When you cook in it right now, a karmel chatos, it's going to be nosar. Ki hadam vashel havi nosar, ki hadam vashel b'machar, o shlam mo chatos. When you cook anything in it the next day, the shlam and more the chatos, the yesterday's chatos is already going to be nosar. So isn't that going to be a problem? So how can you tell me that the only reason by kachin that we don't require libun on the spits and the grates and the grills, the only reason we don't require that by kachin is because it's always by definition hetera, it's never isura, because the yesterday's time has already been removed from all the cookings. So that's not true by karmel chatos. So answers so kipalit after the Gemara still asking kipalit noser the chatos the inna bechatos shlamim lil machar. So the noser of the chatos of today is going to it's going to be nosar already and give time into the chatos and the shlamim tomorrow. So isn't that a problem? So Amri lo tzrichis. No, the chimavashal b'chatos ha'idna hadam mevashal b'ha'idna shlamim. They were careful. Whatever kli they would use today, let's say on Friday, to cook a carbon chatos, they would make sure to use later in the day to also cook a carbon shlamim. So therefore, so it would come out that tomorrow's carbon chatos and today's carbon shlamim become noser at the same time. So chashalim zimnai v'hadim vashal shlamim delamachar, and then you don't have to worry because they're going to cook later in the afternoon tomorrow another carbon shlamim. Meaning, what they're makbid to do is as follows. Anytime they cook carbon chatos, they use a kli for carbon chatos, they use that same kli on that same day, later in the day, for carbon shlamim. So the time of the carbon chatos is drawn out with the cooking of the of that carbon shlamim, and that carbon shlamim gets you a 2-day respite, right? So you can use it the next day as well. So the next day when you cook carbon chatos, the next morning, you don't have to worry about the carbon shlamim taste from the day before, because that's not yet noser. It's drawing out the carbon shlamim taste from the day before. And then when you cook carbon shlamim again, later in the day, it draws out the carbon chatos taste from earlier in that same day, which is not yet noser. So that's the way it keeps on working. You just keep doing carbon shlamim after carbon chatos rather than before. So frankly, Gemara, okay, great system. If that's the system, ihachi hagala nami loli bayit, then you shouldn't even need hagala. You shouldn't even require Hagala at all, because it totally kashas itself out. So it says Gemara kasha. That's taka difficult. That's a hard one. So okay, leaves it as a kasha. So says Gemara Rav Papa Amar high karid high low karid. Rav Papa says no. The difference is high karid high low karid. What does that mean? So says Rashi the third wide line la olam bekachim isura palit. Really bekachim it's Isser that's coming out of the kelim. Udukakashalach nibai libun, meaning scratch everything we just said. This whole system, not true. Whenever you're cooking in kelim that were used for kachim, you're cooking it days later, and it's already noser, and it's Isser that's coming out of it. So we're back to our original question. Why is it that when it came to regular gulei of the kachavim, to regular treif kelim, we required libun, and when it came to kachim, we didn't require libun, all we required was hagala? So he says, no, the kakash alach nibai libun kimas nisin lo dami. The gulei of the kachavim, aidi delom vashalu kol shaito umeskasha hablia bitocho v'nidvekes bo bekulo. He says, something that's used not consistently, something that's used in an inconsistent manner. Like a normal guy, he doesn't cook every single day in his kitchen with all of his kelim. He uses his kelim in somewhat inconsistent manner. So whatever got balua in the kli had time to really take root and harden and remain and get strong in the kli. So then in order to kasher it, we need to do a stronger form of kashering. It doesn't come out easily with hagala, so you need to be melabe and you need to do libun. But by kachim, to call shait, but by kachim, granted, we don't have this whole system where we make sure that it's never become nosar. Okay, that much we don't do. But it's used several times a week. So since it's used constantly, the tam that's balua in the kli never had a time to really become like part of the kli, to really become completely embedded in the kli. And therefore, a lower form of kashering is going to be good enough. You could even do agala in order to remove such tam. That's the svara. Difficult to know what the gedder of such the thing is, meaning it's not giving us 24 hours, twice a week, three times a week. What does it mean? It doesn't. The Gemara doesn't give us the gedder, but that's what Rav Papa says. Rav Ashi Amar Liolam Kedamar Meikara Hacha Etei Rabala Achi Surabala. Rav Ashi says, go with what we said originally, that there's a difference between Etei Rabala and Isurabala. And when it comes to Kachem, the reason you only need Hagala is because it's Etei Rabala. When it comes to Gilei of the Chavim, the reason you need Libun is because it's Isurabala. With the Kakashalach to be in the Kapalat Isura, it been the kapalit isur kapalit bidnu the kapalit loisi lisur bene. Ah, you're bothered that at the time that it's being polite, it's already isur that it's being polite. That doesn't bother me because at the time that it's being polite, the isur is not really there. It's just tam of the isur, so it's not as strong as having the isur directly there. So that's why heterabala and isurabala are really different. The fact that at the time of the blia, that at the time that it was originally balea, it was hetera versus isura, that makes all the difference in the world. The fact that at the time the original blia was hetera is a major tzad l'kula, and that's why, since that's the circumstance always by kachim, we have the right to be mekel to only do agala on the klei sharis and not to do the full fledged libun. Okay, the Tosos discusses this whole idea of Eina Ben Yomo, that we're going to be machmir to kasher a kli that's Eina Ben Yomo. He says it's very strange. Why were they machmir on the kli of Eina Ben Yomo, but not on the food? Meaning, if I have a kli that's any ben yom, that's been used for treif more than 24 hours ago, right, and I cook something in it, and then I ask the rabbi, I didn't realize I cooked something in it, so I have my pasta was cooked in this kli, what do I do? So what's the psak? The psak is, your pasta's kosher. Eat it, enjoy. Your kli has to be kashered. Doesn't that sound strange? Isn't someone, why would they do that? How if the kli isn't kosher, how could the pasta be kosher? I cooked in a tray for kli. People are always very confused by that. Why is it that one should be kosher, not the other? So Tosos is bothered by this. Tosos here says, Yesh lasis tam, ma ro lahatir machal v'las rakadera, l'fi shakadera hayba isr gomer tchila, avla machal nivla bo isr me'olam. So he says, that's the key. That when it comes to the kadera, when it became usr, it became usr with a real isr. The kedera had chazer in it. The pasta never had chazer in it. The pasta only had tam, very similar to the svara we're saying down here right now. Right, that when you're dealing with something, the heterabala, that when a kli was heterabala, if it was as long as when it dealt with the mamashus who was heter, then it's called heterabala. It's okay, even though afterwards it becomes usser, because at the usser stage it's only tam of isser. It's not actual isser. So over here as well, when you cook pasta in a tray for kli, the kli is a tray for kli and it needs to be kashered, because the tree actually dealt with mamashus of Isser. The pasta never came into any contact with mamashus of Isser. The food you cooked in the kli never came into contact with any mamashus of Isser. That's why we're going to be making with the kli more than we will with the food that's cooked in the kli. Then Tosos, at the end of Tosos, discusses the minhag that we have, that after we do agalas kelim, we rinse in cold water. And he says, I have no idea what that's all about. He says, mash nagu lasos losis kli amagul b'mayim son and miad achar agala ein leida lama noagu kein. Can't tell you why we do that, because in order to be polite the isser, all you really need to do is hagala, where the cold water coming in afterwards as a zecher to mariko shtif or something. He says sarach tam leminag, we need a tam for this minag. I have no idea why we do it. We still do it though. That is our minag, that after in Shulchan Aruch it records that a minag is that after we kasher kelim, if you kasher for Pesach you would know this, right, that after we kasher kelim for Pesach we immediately run it under cold water. That is in fact the minhag. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Vad kama malamnon. Ramani, how hot does it have to get? How strong does Liban have to be? Amravunu yara katana. I'm sorry. Amramani achatashir klipasan, until the outermost layer is removed. Meaning, so the poskim say that means until it sparks, until it gets red hot or it's sparking. So that shows that the outermost layer is being removed. The ketsan magilan, how do you do agala? Amravunu yara katana b'toch yara gadola. If you need to do agala on a small pot, stick it into a big pot of boiling water. Yara gadola mai, how do you do agala on a yara gadola on a big pot? Your biggest pot, the biggest pot in the world. How does agala get done on it? Toshma, who do the davu be rav akavia a hadr like a danfa to lisha apuma. What he did is he put a dough around the edge, around the rim of the pot, and he filled the pot with water and he boiled it up. Why did he put a dough around the edge? Why did he build a rim around the edge? Because he wanted to kasher the rim also. If he were to fill it up all the way and try to kasher it, kasher the rim by overflowing it, so it's going to put out the fire. It's not going to ever get around the top of the rim, because it will just overflow on one side, it will put out the fire underneath, and that will be it, and it will be done. But they will never get kashered around the rim. So he built like a ledge around the rim so that the water can go higher than the actual level of the pot to kasher the very top of the pot. Amar Rava, man chacham mavkiya milsa ilav Rav Akavya degaver Rabahu. Who's so smart to do something like this? What a brilliant solution he came up with, if not for Rav Akavya, who's such a great man. Kasavar, he obviously holds kibolu kach polta. That just like the top of the pot, obviously you don't fill the pot all the way to the tippy top every time, so why is he worried about it at all in terms of kashering the very rim of the pot? Because sometimes things splatter onto that part. So just like it's balea through splatterings on the top of the pot, so too you have to make sure that the water that you're kashering with splatters all the way to the top and is and therefore the entire pot gets kashered. Fine, that ends the discussion of Hagala. One last discussion of kashering, and that is the kashering of a knife. And this causes tremendous confusion. People a lot of times get very confused by kashering a knife. Sometimes, you know, you could be at someone's house, and they'll, a friend likes to tell a story where he's at someone's house, and someone takes a knife and says, the Baal Bas says, see this knife? 2 days ago, it was mamish treif. It was used to cut hot milk and cheese. Really? So what did you do with it? Well, I just stuck it in the ground, and now it's kosher. So that's incorrect. So what is this thing about sticking in the ground? So that's our sugya. So let's see. Hasakin shafa vihi tahora. The sakin, the knife, you rub it and it's tahor. So Amar Ravuk bar Chama v'noatza asar patim b'karka. You stick it 10 times into the ground. That's what you're supposed to do with the knife. 10 times in the ground. Yerushalmi says 3 times, but over here it sounds that it's dafka 10 times in the ground. Now Amar Avuna Breid of Yeshua b'karka shein avuda, assuming it's karka that hasn't been worked, so it's not loose karka. Amar Rav Kanu b'sakin yafa shein bagumos. So it also has to be an unridged knife. It has to be a very smooth knife. Now when does that apply? That's talking about where it hasn't been used with hot. If the knife was used with cold, so there's an assumption that there's some fat or some oil on the knife in order to clean it off. This is a cleaning that we're doing by sticking it into the ground in order to clean off that whatever shamnunis gets stuck to the knife. You stick it in the ground. But if it was used with boiling hot, if it was used with something hot, then of course it needs hagala. Then you need to kasher it in the normal way with real hagala. And that's what the Braisa says. If it doesn't have any ridges in it or anything like that, then you can stick it in the ground 10 times. But again, that's assuming it wasn't used with hat. There is a machlokas in the Rishonim, what exactly the sticking in the ground 10 times accomplishes, whether it removes the outermost surface, or it kashers the outermost surface, or it just cleans the surface of the knife. That's a three-way machlokas in the Rishonim, what it accomplishes. But either way, if it was used with hat, where it's palua through and through with this, or that's not going to help, right? Cleaning or kashering the outermost surface is not going to help when the whole knife is treif. It's only going to help when it was used with cold, and the outermost surface is all you really got to worry about. Amrav unabrid of shua lechel batzonein, to eat with it with cold. Ki hadamar yudah bati bartuvi haviyasi kamed of shor malka. They were sitting in front of shor malka. Aisul kamei esroga. He brought an esro in front of them. Pasak achal pasak havli the bati bartuve vahada datsa asar zimni ba'ara. So he gave the knife to bati bartuve, and then he after bati bartuve was done with it, he stuck it in the ground 10 times. Pasak havli the mar Yehuda, he gave it to mar Yehuda. Amle bati bartuve and meaning clearly he didn't want to give it to Rav Yehuda before he gave it to before he kashered it after giving it to bati bartuve. So now Shvar Malka wasn't even a Jew, but he knew the halacha. So he knew if he gave it to bati bartuve who wasn't trustworthy, and he takes the knife back and he wants to give it to someone who is trustworthy, he better stick it in the ground 10 times, because it was used on something cold and cutting the esrog. So vahu gavra lav amale bati bartuve vahu gavra lav bar yisraelu. He said, "What? I'm not Jewish enough for you? You have to kasher it after I use it? What's wrong? Why do you suspect me that I would have used it in an inappropriate way for something not kosher?" Amale markim li begave markim lokim li begave. He says, "Look, I know Rav Yehuda. I know who he is. I know that he's someone who would never eat a dvar iser. You? I don't really know. I don't know that you wouldn't eat a dvar iser, that a knife that I get from you would be a kosher knife." So Yikad Amri Amalei Itkar Maya Vadet Bu'orta. Others say, he said to him, "Don't you remember last night?" Apparently it was the Derech of the Parsiim, and Shvar Malka was the Melech of the Parsiim, to give women to the guests. And he says, "When I gave Rav Yehuda a woman, he said, 'No, thank you. I'm okay tonight. I really don't need it. But when I gave you a woman last night, you were more than happy to take her. So what? I'm going to trust your kashrus? Yeah, I know what goes on in your room at night. How could I trust your kashrus? And that's why I don't trust you." On that note, Hadron Lach HaZachras HaPoel, Bez Hashem, we will start Maseches Horios tomorrow. Thank you.